The Arcturian People, Part 2. Hello. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Marie. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously for those who have the insight to understand. I am writing this on the morning of April 6, 2025. At first, I was a little concerned about how my description of the Arcturians would be received by the general public, because, as you can see in the first video about them, they are not precisely graced with Western human beauty standards, much on the contrary to the Salations, the Engen and the Tagetans who are, and among others. I remember that some people criticized the Tagetans when they were giving their first messages online, among other things, because they were all too physically perfect, according to those people, and remembering what Swaru of Era answered, she said, quote, "That's because we don't eat at McDonald's." And I would add, there are all kinds of people among the Tagetans and other similar races, and not all of them are so good-looking, although the percentage of those among their population is a lot higher than on Earth because of dietary and cultural differences. There are certain star races of which I do like to keep my distance because they have a lot of fans and followers on Earth, and those might come against me, and there is no need for such controversy only because of a simple video where I state my opinion about them, for example, the Andromedans, because I deeply disapprove how they manage their relationship with the Galactic Federation, and how they see Earth and its problems with a permissive attitude with a lot of fear of generating karma and this goes for the Arcturians as well. Another star race I cannot talk about is the Caristus, because to me, their dark and unintelligible representatives on Earth are not doing a good job describing who and how they are, and strongly demand having a monopoly of truth over them. I'll leave it there. In the case of the Arcturians, I found it interesting to see that there are many images of them online that do give a hint at how they look in real life. I'll place an example of an image of them I found online on your screen. I had imagined, or I imagine that humans on Earth in general might not like to take spiritual and ethical advice from a standing-up frog, because that is what they are, and they don't even deny that, so they don't find what I said any bit offensive because they are very proud of their species. Besides, I like frogs. I think they are very noble and beautiful. Sadly, they appear to be in danger of extinction on Earth because of water pollution, pesticides, and habitat destruction, among other factors. Another thing Arcturians have in common with frogs is that their DNA is very fragile, and so is their general biology, as they are not resistant to mechanical damage. Where they do differ a lot from regular frogs is in their reproduction process, despite having such similar DNA. But they still belong to the same biological family. As a side note, frogs are a very good indicator of how healthy a water ecosystem is, because of their general fragility, so if you find frogs in a pond, it is guaranteed that there are no pollutants in it. So, in all love and respect, Arcturians are highly advanced, super technological interstellar frogs. Now let's have a closer look at their society. The first thing to notice is that as they do not have genders, they live in a society where all sexual interactions and variables do not exist. And I mean, they do not live in a single gender society because the very concept of gender does not exist, and neither do gender roles, and the very concept of family does not exist either. As they are completely asexual, they don't waste time on all the complex dating and courting processes other species need. The Arcturians themselves say that this is a very big advantage they have over countless other species, as without those lower chakra distractions, they can concentrate on, quote, more important things. This effect can sometimes also be seen on Earth, where people who prefer to be alone, with no partner, many times tend to be a lot more productive than their counterparts who are in a relationship. Arcturian society is based on community cooperation, where we can roughly say that their tribe is as close as they get to the concept of having a family, because they see each other as kin, with no concept of other Arcturians being strangers to them, and therefore they work cooperating with each other very freely, and this strengthens their entire culture. This is accentuated by their heavy use of telepathy, even though they do have a verbal telepathic language. For those of you who do not know what that is, it is when telepathy is used to load more meaning onto a spoken word. For example, the simple word, cat, when spoken, will be loaded mentally with the specifics of the feline, like its color, the length and texture of its fur, where it is, how it behaves, and so on. The Tagetan language is another close example of one. The heavy use of telepathy also unites the Arcturian culture a lot. But even with all this cooperation and unity among them, they do tend to be aggressive with members of their own species, especially when they are not behaving or delivering work as expected. They have a strong work ethic, which I have found to sometimes be over the top and bordering on being abusive with their members. In Arcturian society, work, advancement, and efficiency are primordial, and this explains why they have been so successful as an interstellar species. Their technological level is among the highest known in this galaxy, to the level where they can grow machines which have been genetically engineered. They design a complex mechanism with DNA, and then it is grown in pods, rather than being constructed. This has also spawned a lot of controversy around them coming from other star races, including Tagetans, as ethical questions arise immediately. Imagine having to constantly ask yourself if your washing machine, or your vacuum cleaner, has a consciousness, if you are abusing it, or if you are hurting its feelings. Another species which shares this peculiarity with the Arcturians is the Andromedans, and this is logical, as they historically have always gotten along very well, therefore, they share a lot of their technology. I must say that making machines with DNA using a medical pod is not that difficult once you know and have the technology. Tagetans have such a level of technology, but we choose not to use it because of ethical reasons. And we still believe that a hammer, a bulldozer, or a starship works best if made out of solid steel and titanium superalloys, and not of cells, however hard and solid you may genetically engineer them to be. We do not accept being at a lesser level of technology just because we choose to use metals rather than cells to build our stuff. Arcturians excel at mathematics and geometry, which they also use as a means to communicate, to the point where their very language, the Enzarek Serati, is also very geometrical in structure, as described by them. Honestly, don't ask me why, because it is completely unintelligible. They believe that geometrical shapes convey vibrations which can be used to activate the DNA of their starseeds, among other sensitive people with a similar vibration. Their music sounds quite monotonous, almost synthetic, even when it is produced with simple handcrafted sound instruments, and it lacks the abundance, variety and complexity of the music created by Lyrian human cultures, of which the one on Earth is especially rich. In general, Arcturians are highly methodical, pragmatic, and productive. Their home planet, Petola, which orbits the great red star Arcturus, is a very hot and humid place all year long, and is a tropical swamp planet with a 60-65% gravity force as compared to Earth's, which is said to be responsible for the physical fragility of the Arcturians, as they do not need to be strong in such low gravity. Their planet, Petola, is close enough to Arcturus to be hot all their year long, ranging from 30 to over 50 degrees Celsius, and in a highly humid environment. This means that Arcturians like it hot, to the point where it is said that this translates even to their starseeds, which prefer hot places to live in, and do not like to be in cold Nordic countries when on Earth. As much of their planet is covered in swamps, they live in houses and buildings that resemble round pods which float on the surface of the water, and are connected by walkways. These can be very large, because even their biggest infrastructure buildings are afloat. Even when they can find a firm piece of land to build something on, they strongly prefer floating structures, because they can also move them around, not having to be stuck living in one single location, and you can see how this is also part of their highly pragmatic mentality. Their official political structure is an Andromedan model, steppe council holistic society, with no defined leader, which means no monarch, president, or any variant of those. They rely solely on the decisions of their high council, and those lesser similar ones below it, which manage regional problems and issues. The Arcturian diet can be seen as extremely repulsive from our human Lyrian perspective, as they are highly insectivorous, and they also eat highly fermented vegetable matter, not to say rotten plants. This means that technically they are carnivorous, as they do like to consume several local species of insectoids which could be classified on Earth as large specimens of the Scolopendra and Arthropoda families, and other creatures with an exoskeleton, which grow to very large sizes on their planet Pitola. The Arcturian diet is completely incompatible with human Lyrians. Before I go, did I mention that they like to say coarse words? Yes, I did mention that in my first video about them, they do like to use foul language, and a lot. I wonder, we can only imagine how wicked those bad words must be, taking into account that they also load them with an extra strong telepathic meaning, complete with extra insulting details, all coming from an overdeveloped frog brain. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.